get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have a very special guest because it's his third appearance on the Niche Website Builders Podcast, and that is Mushfiq Sarkar. So Mushfiq, many of you probably know, if you follow the SEO and niche website space on Twitter and maybe on Facebook, he is the owner of the website Flip, which is his little baby website teaching essentially growing niche websites and flipping them for a profit. He also has many other sites as part of that portfolio as well, which we dive into. And we dive into the strategies behind building a portfolio of websites, whether you're going to have them as standalone websites or whether you're going to have them to merge with your main website, when and why you're going to do that. And then we cover a whole range of topics ranging from his day-to-day, his team that he's built, his project management, how he's building links, even with his content writers, just anything and everything that Mushfiq is doing. We cover, and we cover a lot about his website as well and some of his easy wins that he looks for and has essentially implemented specifically on his new VPN site to triple the revenue in a few months. So there's plenty to get out of this podcast. So sit back and enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have special guest now, three-peat Mushfiq. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
So if you haven't listened to Mushfiq's previous episodes, you can do that after this one. I think he's got two others on the Niche Website Builders Podcast covering all the things he does with his website flipping and growing niche sites. But maybe for the ones who don't follow you, maybe just give us a quick brief background for us.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been buying, growing, selling sites since 2008. 2010 was my first sale through, and it was just happened randomly. I didn't even know you could sell sites. So I built a site up on, you know, WordPress back in the day. It was getting, making about $1,000 a month. Back then, multiples were like 15 to 20x. And so I got an offer for 25,000. So it was above typical multiple, and I sold it. I was a sophomore in college. So, you know, that's a lot of money, paid off my tuition and all that. And then, you know, started getting into buying sites, mostly through Flippa. And then till today, about probably 220 flips over 14 years.
Man, that's a lot. So currently you're sharing some of the things you're doing now on your on Twitter and Facebook. You haven't been on a podcast for a while sharing what you're doing. So I think it would be good to give maybe the listeners and the people who follow you an update of what you've been up to recently.
Yeah, sure. A lot.
We see it's a lot.
Yeah. First of all, you know, I have my newsletter, the websiteflip.com, and that's where I share a lot of case studies. So recently, you know, I like to kind of enter a niche and dominate that niche as best as I can. And that involves buying a very high authority site and then buying up smaller competitors, either to merge or operate separately. And then that actually, and we'll get into why I do that, but so I've entered the VPN niche, and this is public. My case study is public on this. It's VPNonline.com. So, you know, I've been growing that. That was making about $800, and I just checked the numbers as of May 23rd, and it's at $2,800. So over only 3 months now that we've owned it. So that's what I do. I buy good sites, I scale them quick, hold them for 12 months, and then decide to sell or keep.
Gotcha. So we can say you're probably in two verticals, right? You've got your website flip, I guess, vertical, which is geared towards flipping websites, SEO niche websites, and you've got the VPN vertical now. That will be separate?
So I mean, I'm flipping everything, right? Yeah. So I think if it wasn't clear, right? So I'm buying, essentially VPN is one niche I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm also in other niches that I don't publicly share that URL, the URLs of that. The reason I'm sharing VPN online is it's just such a high authority. It's such a tough niche. I mean, yeah. You gotta have a lot of money to build up a site like that and get ranking. So it's okay for me to share that, yeah. But others are not like that. Yeah. So I'm also in the dating and relationship niche. I can't share that, it's a partnership. So I'm in the VPN, I'm in the digital marketing. I have 8 websites in the website flip portfolio. I have 3 websites in the VPN portfolio. I have 1 in the dating, and I have a lot of other smaller sites that are individual niches.
Nice. Before we go into kind of why you go about this strategy, the VPN site, you essentially tripled the income in a few months. What were the things that you saw were essentially easy wins within that kind of competitive niche?
So easy wins, and these are some very high level tactics that some people might be able to utilize. One is some of these niches pay via revenue share. So this is mostly for software. Things where you get like X percentage of the sale, and they usually range from 30 to 50%. Some of them are recurring and some of them just one time. Most will not tell you this, but the affiliates programs actually will give you a lifetime fee upfront. That's called a CPA, cost per action, rather than a rev share. And usually, the CPA is significantly higher than the revenue share. The reason they want to do revenue share is because they have to pay out less, and they won't tell you that there is a CPA option as well on the back end, right? And the CPA is essentially they'll pay you one time and they'll recoup the revenue from that customer through its lifetime, right? And then there's recurring where you just get paid as they get paid, right? So what I do whenever I buy these kind of affiliate type sites is go to the negotiating table and say, hey, I need a CPA payment. Twofold reason for that. One, obviously I boost my revenues, right? But also our market for website flipping does not value the recurring aspect or the revenue share aspect in a different way, right? The multiples are not 10x higher. They're actually kind of the same. You'll get a buyer quicker if you have recurring revenue, but it's not like you're gonna get a 10x multiple higher. So that's why I transition all my affiliate sites to CPA, which boosts the revenue in the short term. And you know, it looks like, and then the site is just much higher revenue. So I can take that money and grow it, grow the site. So that's one thing I do. We took one, we're getting about, I can't share the numbers cause I'm under NDA, but no it problem. Increased by 50%. One of the CPA payouts just by asking the affiliate manager that, look, we're putting a lot of money into this project. We're going to grow the SEO. We're going to grow the organic traffic. We're going to place you in a better position. And obviously you have to be fair that they are actually the best product, right? You can't do it. You shouldn't do it otherwise, ethically. And so we find the best product and then we say, okay, we're going to promote you in a better position throughout our affiliate pages. So, you know, that's one strategy. Other is, most people I buy sites from do not optimize for conversion rate optimization, missing call to action buttons, missing comparison tables, missing links within the text. So, you know, going through those, I create a Loom video recording and essentially just record all the problems and just hand it over to my VA, whichever one's working on that, and they take care of that. So yeah, those kind of things have boosted it. Obviously, we're adding content. We all, sorry, I'll stop if you want me
No, go.
With that, we also bought a competitor site. I got this inbound through my newsletter. Somebody said, I have a VPN site for sale. And luckily, you know, one thing I look for is how much unique content is on that specific site that's not on my site, right? Because when I do a merger, I'd love to have a lot of new content that I was going to write anyways and just kind of, you know, transfers over through that merger. And we actually had like 95% unique content on that site, and that site itself was making about $1,000. It was making more money than my first site, but less authority. So less authority. So we moved that site into our main site. So got, you know, about 250 articles that we were going to target anyways. And that actually helped boost revenues higher. And this was just done 1.5 months ago. So it's going to take another 2 months to really see that revenue on the P&L.
Nice. Well, that's the perfect segue anyway into this idea of, I guess, acquiring sites as a way of, I guess, boosting your main site. So why do you go down this route instead of maybe focusing on the one site and building links to just that site and putting all your capital into that one essentially website?
Yeah, I do both. I'm buying links, I'm building relationships, I'm putting content on the main site. Really, once you kind of hone down the skills of due diligence, figuring out if a site is quality, if it deserves to be merged, it's a no-brainer. It's like a shortcut, I would say. And that's why, you know, big players do it all the time. They buy up competitors. Why? Why should they build it when they can just buy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in that sense, you save 1.5 years, 2 years, and you have a guaranteed amount of content that's ranking, bringing in traffic and revenue. Whereas if I build and add content, there's no guarantee I'm going to, you know, in Google's eyes, get that traffic. So that's why I do it. Now, there is diminishing returns. I'll give you an example. The website flip is, I've merged about five competitors and sites and domains into the website flip over a 2 year period. And you know, recently we acquired StreamSEO.com, and the idea again was to merge it. But when I just saw the data and saw that, okay, the incremental benefit to the website flip is going to be minimal in terms of domain authority and all of that, because there was, you also have to check, are the backlinks unique, right, of the both domains?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to buy a very high authority, StreamSEO was a DR50, and mine was a DR60, and they had similar backlinks. So what is the benefit for me to merge those? Probably none, because I'm not getting any additional backlinks. The content is kind of similar as well. So what I decided to do is operate them separately because of the diminishing returns. So I can now, am targeting similar keywords on both sites to take over the first page of Google over time, right? Just have multiple positions. And that's been working very well now. So that's you have to kind of see what is the best strategy. And I don't just do one strategy, just do whatever's best for the portfolio.
Gotcha. Now, I really like that idea of having multiple sites in the same niche and essentially trying to take over Google. I mean, there's many examples. I think WP Beginner, their whole portfolio, if you search WordPress stuff, I think the whole first page of Google is, this is their whole portfolio of websites trying to help you.
Yeah, no, 100%. And here's another thing. Once I have negotiated higher affiliate payouts, right, which let's say it's always a volume game and a kind of a relationship building with the affiliate manager that, hey, you know, I'm going to get you this more sales, just give me some time, you know, and look, I have one of the biggest brands, all that, right? It's all kind of sales in a way, right? So let's say I locked in a very good CPA payment. It's in my best interest to go and buy and contact these competitors that might be smaller, because they may have not done the negotiations like I have, right? They might be getting paid $60, whereas I'm getting paid $100. It's a no-brainer to buy that at 60, just switch out the affiliate links, and I just immediately doubled the revenue overnight, right? So that's, you know, owning the first page for WP Beginner makes sense. They have their own themes, I believe. they have their own affiliate. I mean, I'm sure they get the biggest affiliate payouts in the WordPress industry. So no brainer for them.
So with your stream SEO site and the website Flip, so you mentioned obviously they target the same things in the same niche. Are they somehow linked together?
So yeah, this is something that I have been contemplating. They are currently not linked together. Mm-hmm. They are working independent of each other. It's scary for me because the website Flip is my baby, right? Yeah. And I'm not sure if I will link them. Others have said you should, and naturally, not, you know, deliberately, you know, just to get the backlinks. So I'm not sure yet. I don't have an answer. Maybe in 6 months I will.
I did that on my two sites. I linked them in the footer because I saw a few other sites, even sports sites and things they have in the footer, you know, More From Us. And they'll you know, their sites down there. And I was like, I'll do it since it's my two sites are similar. So far, so good. I mean, hopefully, if, you know, fingers crossed, you never know what will happen in the future. But that's something that has somehow not been, I guess, penalized with all the fear mongering and whatnot like that.
And I think footer is safe because I think. Don't quote me, but I think Google devalues footer links and sidebar links lower than in content body links. So I think that's probably what I will start with, see what happens, and then start integrating in body and contextual links within the body.
Nice. You mentioned how, I guess, a lot of your deals you find are private. Do you have any other ways that you like to vet for these kind of websites?
Vet or find?
Well, let's start with find and then we can go into vet.
Find, you know, I'm very active on Facebook groups. You'll see my name pop up. You won't see my image. I have like a cartoon image. Twitter, I'm very active and a lot of deals come through there. Just people just know me. They know I buy quick. Flippa has been very good for me as well. And then my people just send me emails. So those are four ways I buy.
Nice. And then once you've found the site, how are you looking, other than maybe that you need content, you need backlinks, is there anything else you're looking for with the site that you're looking to buy and operate separately or buy and merge?
Yeah. So, let's see, buy and merge. I am looking for backlinks for sure. And healthy traffic, quality content, I mean, if this is for the website Flip portfolio, that's, and I also look at branding, email lists, if there are any, because I run a newsletter. So, and then if it's for the VPN, I'm only looking for existing content, backlinks, not really email lists or branding. I don't care for that because my main site is my branding for that. And then, and you said operate separately.
Yeah.
Again, this is something I'm just exploring in the last, with Stream SEO is my first one where I've decided to operate separately. And then I did another one. I bought a brokerage review site, like a website brokerage review site. So that one is my third one. And I'm just experimenting with this. So it's the only reason I'm doing that is because putting it all into the website Flip is not going to really help the website Flip grow. The website Flip has kind of maxed its ability in terms of domain authority, getting the links from all the relevant resources and websites that are in our industry. So I don't see a benefit of taking another site and putting it into there. So that's why I'm operating them separately. Maybe one day I say, okay, I can't handle three sites. Let me just merge them all, right? Because it is significantly harder to do what I'm doing. And it's more expensive because I have to write content for three sites rather than one. So we don't know. I don't know what will happen in a few months.
How big is your team that essentially runs your entire operation?
Yeah, good question. I work with, I would say, two agencies let me back up. I have three VAs that work semi full-time. So nobody is like full-time on payroll for me. So they work by the hour and they get projects and, you know, they bill me. So those three people just handle all the editorial aspects, formatting, design, you know, adding affiliate links, all of that. I have one SEO person that helps me. He does content outlines, keyword research, helps me with the merges. So, you know, I essentially do a content audit after I do any kind of merger to see what the value of the content is, what should be merged, what should be deleted. He does that for me, the preliminary work, and then I review and just, you know, do the final like decision making. So that person does that. So those guys are there. And then I have writers. I don't have anybody, again, payroll. They all get paid between 5 cents to 12 cents a word, depending on the site. And again, they're all, they get a project, they work on it. That I have about 10 of those writers, mostly US and UK based. Let's see. Yeah, so I think total probably 20 people here and there.
Yeah, it's a fair few. So how do you decide? You mentioned about you have your SEO guy do a content audit. How do you decide what you're merging content wise then, and what's going to stay as is, and what's going to merge with the stuff on your current site?
Good question. So I use Ahrefs content audit template. You can just Google that. They have a very good simple template. You pull in like Google Analytics, Ahrefs data, and essentially gives you suggestions. I ignore the suggestions. I just want the data all side by side. And then my guy also use Screaming Frog tool, scrape the site and kind of understand how many words are in each article, because that's important if it's thin content or you know, there's a lot of content. So then, you know, for example, for the VPN site, we are then seeing that they're pretty similar, right? They're kind of targeting similar keywords. I mean, I said 90% is or 95% is unique, but there's also some that are not. So we have to decide which article to keep. Do I keep my original article, or do I replace it with the one that's coming from the merger site, or do I combine the two? So that's those are the ones that take the most time, right? The ones that are simple are unique content is just moved over, copy paste, right? The ones where you have to kind of sit down and just read the two articles and see which one's best and make that decision. If we're deleting because it has no value, as in I don't want that on my site. And so we just delete it and we just let it go to a 404. We don't redirect it. If it has backlinks, any specific articles, we are very careful to make sure those 301s come in perfectly and to a very relevant article, so we don't get penalized. If we're moving the content, we're less scared. We just do a 1-to-1 301 and move the content over. And then if we're merging, we take our time and figure out what has the most valuable content and make sure that gets put on the final site.
Yeah, I can imagine the content merging would be difficult, because it's almost easier to write something new than take something and edit it and kind of piece little bits together.
It is. And like, for example, for anything on the website flip, I know that my content is the best out there. So if I'm merging a site and there's similar topics, I just delete that and just redirect, because I know mine is just better. But for like other sites, it might not be the case. In a way, I think you are, you know, if VPN Online was a site I started from scratch and I know my content is the best, then I would not have taken any content from my competitor that I bought. And that makes the most sense. I mean, I think for most people who are listening, that will be the case, because they put the best content on their site and they're just buying a competitor for the existing traffic and the backlinks.
Gotcha. Do you want to run us through maybe your merging strategy then? How you go about merging all the content in the entire domain? Or do you ever just merge the content and leave the domain separate?
No. So domain page, there will be page level redirects through 301s, and I use a plugin called Redirection. And then the homepage, I'm not redirecting the homepage to the homepage, right? I use what's called a press release buffer page, just like the real world would do it, right? So I put a press release page on my main domain saying, VPN Online has acquired XYZ competitor, you know, and put a story there of what XYZ was about, what VPN Online is about, why we did this, some quotes from the authors, you know, like made up, right? And then internal links, and then internal links passing through the site. So, and then the competitor's homepage or any page that's that needs that redirect, like the about page, the contact page, all of that would go into the press release page through a 301. And so this kind of, and this, the reason I do this is because I don't want the homepage of the competitor pointing to my homepage for a couple reasons. One, I don't want to mess up my anchor texts for my main homepage. Because most of my sites have branding, they actually rank for their brand. The website Flip ranks, there's keyword volume in Ahrefs, you can look up for the website Flip. Same with VPN Online, there's keyword volume. So I don't want the competitor's anchor text to kind of commingle with mine and mess that up. Second, I don't want Google to think that I'm manipulating, trying to boost the domain DR. And if you look at any real world business, when they come, they buy up a competitor, very few are have that knowledge to put the, they don't do it from an SEO perspective, which was what we're thinking, right? To boost up domain authority, why don't I just put the homepage to the homepage? They do it from branding. So they put a press release page and that's what they redirect to. They don't put it to the homepage. So mimic real life as best as possible. That's what I try to do.
Would you ever merge the homepage to a category page? So it's not a press release?
Yeah. Yes. That is doable. What I do on the category page, though, which I have done, and somebody, you guys can check it out, I acquired a domaining blog, DN Geek, DN, like domain, dngeek.com, and that is not going to a press release page. That is going to a dedicated category page on the website Flip. But what I have done there is it's a category. It has a, you know, a lot of information about domaining and internal links and archives, but at the very bottom, I provide information on who was part of the original DN Geek team, a frequently asked questions section of what happened to the original DN Geek, because I'm buying old sites. Like DN Geek is like 12 years old and was built by industry experts in the domaining world. So if somebody's all of a sudden going to come to DN Geek and come to my site, I don't want them to feel like what the hell just happened, right? And so I do give a story. So as realistic and real world as possible, it takes only an extra hour to put together a, you know, a story, and an honest story that it's been acquired.
So how does that category page look then? I'm assuming you're trying to set this out for best SEO practices to try and pass the juice from that domain through to essentially that entire category. So do you have like a template or layout you use, I guess that kind of spreads it around your site?
Yeah, you mean for the redirect?
For the category page itself.
So I think the mistake that a lot of people do, so the goal here, if you're going to redirect the homepage, which has most likely the most backlinks and the most authority, and you're going to redirect it to a category page, the mistake that people do is keep their category page as an archive of recent posts. Okay. Mm. You don't want that. You want to control which links are on your category page. So I have all throughout every category on the website Flick are custom category pages with, I use a plugin called WP Show Posts, and essentially I cherry pick the articles that I want to show on the archive category page, because I want the link juice to pass through 100% as much as possible, right? I also have a recent post where I have three of the most recent posts in that category, in that topic. And the reason for that is helps with indexing. So when your homepage of your competitor has so much authority, it's being redirected to that category page. Now Google thinks, okay, this page is important. So I want recent posts to be there, so it's indexing is quicker. I have never had indexing issues with any of my sites. I know a lot of people keep saying their site's not being indexed. I have not experienced this at all. So that's maybe because the way I structure my category pages. So yeah, so I cherry pick articles. I have a long form page. It's not just a selection of links. There's text, there's frequently asked questions, there's author images, and you can see that throughout my site.
So how do you decide which articles then you're going to feature on that category page?
Whichever ones bring in money.
Easy answer then.
Easy answer, right? I know which keywords are profitable, and that's the ones I focus on.
Nice. Do you ever then have maybe the full blog roll? So I'm assuming then, because you only have the three recent posts and maybe the cherry-picked articles you want, for people to find the rest of your blog role in that category, they either got to come to it from Google or they need to search it on your site, or is there any way they can navigate to it?
Maybe I can share my screen. Is that possible?
Yeah, do it. It'll be an extra bonus for the YouTuber, sure. The YouTuber watchers.
And for the podcast listeners, I'll explain it, right? So dngeek.com comes into this category page, which is the website flip.com/domains, right? And what I have here is obviously my main title, which is my main keywords, which is brandable domains, right? I showcase where I have been featured. So this is essentially, if you think about it, it's a standalone. If I was to just separate this category out, it would be its own website.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
I design it in that fashion, that it's a standalone category, but it's also a standalone operationally, and a standalone website it could be if I wanted it to be. So I have, you know, all the SEO stuff, a introduction. I have then a lot of sections. That's what I was talking about, which are all header two. So my first section is brandable domain sales, where every week in my newsletter, I actually feature domains from auctions, from GoDaddy auctions, age domains, brandable domains. So I have a section explaining that. And then I have a selection of recent posts from that category, from those topics, right? And these are all recent, they're automatic. So those will be the blog role and the archive, and those would get indexed quicker. And then I have other subsections, like different articles that we've written that they're just there because I want to pass the link juice to them, right? And then I have, you know, more sections where I've cherry picked some articles that I want to pass link juice. And you know, so that's the goal. I just have multiple subsections with text, internal links, selection of posts, and at the very, very bottom, and then also, as I said, frequently asked questions, why it was, what happened to the original site, who's behind the team here. And then at the very, very bottom, you'll see, this is just the blog role, the archive page. So I do put that there, where it's all the recent articles, just like you would see on any blog role article archive site on a WordPress site, on the homepage, for example. So it's all there for you. So think of it, you know, it's just, if I was to just strip away this domain subsection and category, it would be its own website, right? You couldn't tell. Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. I love that. That's a good visualization as well for the people watching who are looking to maybe set out their category pages that aren't just typical WordPress archive pages where it just has the recent posts. You can kind of build the authority that way and make it look a little cleaner, a little more professional.
Yeah.
I also wanted to know, because obviously you manage a ton of sites, have a big team. What does your day-to-day look like? What is your role day-to-day? Because I'm assuming you're not writing as much of the content. Maybe you're not publishing it. As you mentioned, your VA is doing a lot of things. So what is your role day-to-day?
Yeah. So the website Flip, I am writing content. That's just because that's my brand. I don't write all of the content. I do have technical analysts. So that's some people I didn't mention within the 20. I have two technical analysts that help me with research. They kind of put together the article, put together the pieces, because a lot of it is just they can do that. And then I edit and put in my views to add that value add, right? And so that's something I do on the website Flip. So I'm very active on the website Flip content production. For any of my other sites, I don't write content. I have never written an article apart from the website Flip since 2008. So that's how, you know, detached I am from the content. I look through the content. So what I do with my writers, essentially, my SEO person, and this is not for like the website Flip, it's for my portfolio of sites. I tell them, hey, these are the seed keywords and Ahrefs. Can you put together an Excel spreadsheet, a Google sheet with all the keyword opportunities? I go through that keyword opportunity list and then shortlist the ones that I want to target. So I'm active in that part. He then takes those and creates content outlines with H2s, all in Google Docs. That then gets sent to the specific writer, and we use Trello.com for managing this whole process with everybody's in Trello. And then essentially when the outline is done, the outline then gets sent to the writer. I handle that process. So this is something is a bottleneck in my business. I do need like an editor in chief to kind of handle this process as I'm scaling, and I am hiring. So in Trello, I essentially get a notification that, hey, this content outline is done. I have automated buttons. So the Trello has like this thing called Butler. And you have to pay for it. Essentially, you can create automations where there's like a button in the Trello board where you click it and it says, go to this writer or go to that. That immediately copies that information into a different board, which my writers are in. And then they get notified automatically that you've been tagged. Here's a new project for you. So I don't have to communicate with my writers if I don't want to. So all that process is automated. Once they upload, I get notified the article is ready. There's another button there that says go to VA. And then it goes to my VA for editorial purposes, gets put onto the website, and then I get notified. I log in and do the final check and publish the article. So that's my full process. A day-to-day, I think, I spend an hour or 2 hours on this kind of back and forth, posting, publishing content on the site. I spend, multiple hours a day on content for the website flip here and there throughout the week. I do a lot of outreach and backlinking. I don't do it myself. I have two people who are independent agencies, I would say, that secure very, very high authority links, and I pay. So I do buy backlinks, and they range from $500 to $1,500. For these links. So these are not your normal garbage links. These are really, really high authority, high traffic sites.
So no sipping margaritas on the beach then?
No.
Not yet?
I'm scaling. Yeah, no. It's boring to do that, let's be honest.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you're the one who clicked publish on across your whole portfolio?
Yeah, unfortunately. That's something I need to figure out.
Fair enough.
The thing is, I use Link Whisper and all those tools to add internal links and all of that. So I like to do that myself. I haven't found somebody who has a full understanding of not over optimizing, not under optimizing, how many links to add. It's kind of an art. That's something that I don't trust people to do. And I have to find the right person. I know it exists, but yeah. So I need to hire an editor in chief. But let me be clear here. I actively work on 5-6 sites that are in growth phase, the exponential growth phase, where I'm actively doing things on there. There's a lot of sites where I just don't care. Right? They could have like 30 articles pending that they just have accumulated. I just log in one day. I don't even add internal links. I just publish, right? There's a lot of those sites. And a lot of sites I just tell my VA, just publish. I don't care. Right? So it's not that many sites that I'm really actively really caring for, right?
Fair enough. You mentioned about the internal linking, the under and over optimizing. Do you want to maybe run through your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's no... There's no, specific structure. I use Link Whisper. Sometimes they give good suggestions, and sometimes I use my own suggestions. I like to add, not always, but 2 to 4 at least internal links throughout an article.
That's it.
I buy a lot of sites. So with that, I also get insights into how other people build sites and what they track. So I've received a lot of spreadsheets of people keeping track of anchor text profiles and which page is linking to what with what anchor text. And I get these, I'm like, guys, just don't worry about this. This is the beginner mindset, right? Once you get to kind of see that all this stuff doesn't matter, it's all about 80-20. I optimize for 80-20. If I just get 80% of it done, it's good enough. Just get it out the door, publish, you can optimize later.
So how much weight do you put towards trying to find the right anchor text to internally link?
I don't optimize for anchor text. I optimize for relevancy, as long as it's relevant. This is initially when I publish, right? Let's say 6-12 months later, I might go back and see, okay, I need some internal links to this specific article. Because it's not going anywhere and I need it to get somewhere to like top 3 or 5 a position, that's when I will cherry pick specific articles with backlinks and then change up the text to get that anchor text. But I don't do one anchor text. I go into Ahrefs, and this is something Charles Float, I'm sure he's been, I think he's been on your guys' podcast.
He talked about this a little bit.
I follow that. I follow that process, which is I rank the keywords, essentially what keywords I want to rank for, which ones are bringing in the most traffic and has like essentially the lowest difficulty, and I optimize for those. And this is done on a case by case basis. This is not done for every article. This is done specifically for a few.
Gotcha.
And I can give examples on the website Flip. I have 2 pages that I really, really want to rank, which is buy a website, sell a website. I have 2 very big pages for that. And every few months, as I publish, you know, 20, 30 articles, I go back and optimize those to send internal links to those pages, because that is part of my business model, right? To rank for those keywords.
Yeah. So your anchor text, in just as an example, maybe it might be like you go through 8 trips. It might be like buy a website, buy a niche website, how to buy a website, etc. And those would be the anchor text you're linking back to.
Exactly. Gotcha. And I mix and match those. Yep.
Gotcha. I want to come back to as well to your systems. You mentioned obviously you use Trello as one of your, I guess, project management systems with your team.
Yep.
Do you have, I guess, for people who are looking to maybe build out their own teams of VAs and writers and things like that, do you have any other management softwares or any other things that you do and use to help your day to day?
Yeah, so Trello I've been using for a long, long time. I know there's a lot of other things, ClickUp, Basecamp, they all came after Trello. So I've been using Trello for a long, long time, and I have business plan for that. I love it. So Trello, Google Docs was where all my writers write. Nobody writes in WordPress. There's been some discussion on that. I just feel like I can do quick edits if I need to, review the content, and my writers don't complain. And then there's no issues with formatting or where should I put this, you know, header and all. It's just my SEO person puts up the outlines, my writers write, my VAs know what to copy paste, and it's very simple.
Yeah.
Trello, Google Docs, we use Slack for communication. And that's the free Slack version. I don't pay a premium plan for that. Let's see, for payments, it's, you know, PayPal or Wise Transfer. Yeah. And I make sure that once we get a rapport with each writer that they trust me, I'd like to do weekly payments. So they might write 5 or 6 articles a week and then bill me at once. I don't want to keep having to pay one article at a time.
Yeah.
It takes a few weeks to get that trust, and then it's they like to do the weekly. That's pretty much it.
No, nice and lean then.
Yeah. As lean as possible.
So do your writers, do they write across all your sites in the different niches, or do you have to find different writers each time you have maybe a different niche?
That's something a lot of people ask me, and I think a lot of people kind of fail at. I hire unique writers for each site. Now, there is a certain, you know, it's like, for example, I have one writer that somehow is talented in 3 or 4 topics. Just, I don't know how, but this person just knows, and I'm lucky to have him, right? So he does write for a few sites. And then I have, you know, like the website Flip, I have a fully dedicated team, right? I have 4 writers that do, and 2 analysts, 4 writers that write content through the 3 or 4 sites that I own, that have content sites that I own for those. So those guys are dedicated. They're not writing, usually not writing for any of my other sites. They might get a one-off project. They also do, if I do a guest post for the website Flip or my portfolio, they usually do that as well. They write those articles. So there's a dedicated team there, and I cherry picked and hired each individual there. They're not generic writers. Some of them have bought and sold sites. Some of them have digital marketing experience, whatever, right? For my VPN, I have 2 writers that are dedicated that I have actually obtained through the purchase of that site. So the person I bought the original site from was shutting down operations, and he gave me his VA, he gave me his writers, and these guys have been assets, right? They really helped scale. So short answer, I hire uniquely for each individual site.
How do you find these, I guess, the more subject matter experts than your typical generic SEO writer? So how do you go about finding them? Because it's not easy to find. Like I've got, for my sites, I've got one writer, he's awesome because he's entrenched in the niche that I'm in. He coaches it, all that stuff. So he gives me content that I'm not going to get from a generic writer who's just going to write, you know, some surface level stuff about whatever it is. He can give his background on it. So how do you find these people, you know, at scale?
Yeah. So for the website flip, you know, I'll say I have been monitoring a lot of other competitors and seeing their author bios, who's writing, and essentially contacting them through LinkedIn or whatever, and saying, look, you're a freelancer, so write for me. I pay very good, 10 to 12 cents a word for anything on the website flip. So they usually say yes. So that's been a great way. I mean, if you have a high budget, if your site has high revenue and you know it has high potential, and just monitor your competitors, see who's writing content, contact them and pay them whatever they want, and they'll come on board, right? That's reality. Now, I have sites that I want the cheapest, most quality content. I know that doesn't go hand in hand. I usually get those people from Upwork. So Upwork has been great for me. I've hired multiple people through there. I will tell you, though, you got to go through 50 plus people to find a short list of five that listen and write a good article, and then you'll keep one over the long term. That is the success rate, unfortunately, with our industry. When I say cheap but quality content, that's our industry, right? If you're willing to pay premiums, people will stick with you. If you're not, you know, you want bulk content, cheap quality, less than 5 cents a word, you're going to get churn. They're going to leave over time. That is what it is. So Upwork, I have tried ProBlogger, the Facebook groups, the cult of the copy group, whatever. Not much success there.
How often then do you need to replace those writers? You mentioned about the churn.
Yeah, nowadays what I do, I'll tell you my strategy. So the sites that I have, like the VPN sites, the writer that I said has multiple talents, that person is pretty much writing for that site. So I didn't have to find anybody for that. For my website flip, I don't ever have churn because I pay well. For any of those smaller sites that I have, maybe like I have a pet site or something where I don't really care. I use agencies, and these are usually agencies that are not public. So this is not ones you guys will see, like it's not NWB, Initial Website Builder, it's not, you know, all the ones that you've heard of. It's more people who have come through my newsletter and said, look, I'm building up a team, I have excess capacity. Would you like to order, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 words, because they're building up, they're scaling their team on niche sites and they have excess openings, right? And essentially I just slot in and say, sure. And so I have a selection of few of those people that, you know, tell me when they have openings, and I just order a bulk amount of content. And luckily these guys are nice. They format the content, they publish it on my site, they create outlines, and they do keyword research as well. So I don't have to do anything for those. And so don't contact me asking for those contacts. I'm a very open book, but I can't share my secrets, all my secrets.
Yeah, you already get enough. You already give enough away on Twitter or Facebook, so people can stop being so greedy. Yeah? I want to circle a little bit back to your link building, because you mentioned you have someone who does the outreach for you and you pay a premium for them. You've gotten some legit links for your site. Yeah. So how have you gone about that strategy?
Yeah, multiple ways. So, I'm an open book with the website flip, so I'll share what I'm doing there, and also VPN. And that's pretty much 99% of my strategy. So initially when I started the website flip, it was because people knew me, right? And so I reached out to whoever was willing to talk to me, allow me to write an article for their blog. So that was the first up to DR, like, let's say, I know DR is not a real metric, but let's just use it. Up to DR 30 or 40, that was just me physically actually outreaching. Then we switched on to Haro. So Haro has, I answered a lot of questions for a couple months and got the next batch of quality links. And then I hired somebody to do Haro for me. Nowadays, today, I don't do Haro for the website flip anymore. It's for my other sites. So that person has, it's just working on and off on specific sites. So it's custom outreach, Haro. And then what I have done is I have found two people that they run a one-person agency where they work for SaaS companies, right? And they do content, they build links for SaaS companies on a recurring basis. So they have like SaaS companies paying them like $5,000, right? To build links, maybe 10, 20 links a month. So they have all this inbound guest post opportunities and niche edit opportunities, right? And they just doing mass outreach for very high DR, high authority, high traffic sites. And then the leftovers, right? Essentially, let's say that SaaS company doesn't want that link or it doesn't match. I get access to those leftovers. Mm. I have gotten, I can't even remember now, G2.com through that, which is like a DR 80 tech site. ConvertKit, pretty much. You can check my backlink profile, it's public, right? And usually these are niche edits, not guest posts usually, and I prefer niche edits. So yeah, so I pay, that person who's bringing that opportunity, they charge an arm and a leg, and I know I can't obtain that link without a lot of effort, so I'm willing to pay him for his time, essentially. So that's the way I've kind of scaled a lot for my sites. The next one is I have a writer that essentially he gets 10 cents a word, and his contract with me is he is going to do outreach on my behalf to all the digital marketing and SEO tools out there, right, that are relevant to the website flip, stream SEO, whatever, and say, can we write a guest article if we were to test your product and see how this product can help website flippers? So the title of the article, and please use a variation of it. You're not a website flipping blog, so don't do this. It's like, X ways website flippers can use XYZ tool, right? And so my guy would go get a trial version or a paid version of the tool, test it out for a few weeks, a week, see how it works, and then write a tutorial article of how niche website builders can, or flippers can use that tool. That brand is happy. They just got a new customer base, let's say, website flippers, and I get a backlink. And what the structure I have with them is 10 cents a word, no matter what. You outreach and bring me the inbound deals. I pay you $50 bonus once the link lands. So he can make a lot more money. He gets continuous content as long as he keeps outreaching, and I'm willing to keep paying him. If he brings in 100 a month, good for him.
Right? Nice.
Yeah.
With the payments too. So a few weeks back, Ben Goldberg on the Niche Website Builders podcast, they did a whole episode on Haro outreach, and they covered a lot about how they pay their writers for Haro. Are you able to share maybe how you did that, whether it's you pay per pitch or you pay per link and things like that?
No, I pay per pitch. It's $10 per pitch.
Per pitch. And then do you give bonuses for certain links?
I do not pay for successful links, no.
Okay. So it's just a flat rate.
Flat rate. This person is doing two sites. So he's building links to Stream SEO and VPN. And he does about 10 to 15 pitches a month. A week. Mm-hmm. So about 40 pitches a month. But like last week, there was only 5 relevant ones. So he did only 5. He's not forcing it. He knows the rules. He knows what my criteria are. And he abides by that. He's a nice guy. Otherwise, it's easy to manipulate because I'm not really checking every week what he is answering. So $10 a pitch.
Did you provide a structure of how you like the pitches to be done? Is there a way that you've found to be successful?
Yes. So, he has done Haro more than me, so I have trusted his guidance, but I did provide my template that I like to use, and I can share it. It's in the subject line, put whatever the question is, like answer for question, whatever they're asking, and then I, hey, whatever your name is, first name, gotta be personal, and then I have 2 sentences, 3 sentences, boilerplate, who I am, what my website is, what my experience is, you know, a couple sentences. And then I get into the answering the question, and I like to italicize and bold my answer, right? And make sure it's very clear that this is my answer and the extra stuff is garbage just to build rapport with you, right? Journalists don't care. They just want the answer. And at the very end, I just close it off and say, I'm happy to answer any follow-ups. And then at the bottom, I have my signature footer, my image, where can they find more information and all of that. That has worked for me. Another thing is I have a very high success rate, I would say, because my sites are quality. So I have had a lot of people reach out to me and say, hey, I want to build hero links. I look at their site and I'm like, I don't even want to look at your site. I mean, like, that's, if you look at, I spend a lot of time on design, right? It's not like I know what I'm doing. I just want to make sure it's aesthetically pleasing to look at, right? And I have the right elements on my website where a journalist will come and say, okay, this guy is trustworthy. I can trust him. Right? Even if I have fake authors, look, my VPN site has a fake person, but I still get links because the way I present him, I got a Forbes link to a fake person. Okay. So it's doable. It's just, you have to showcase it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. I've got a site with a fake person. I created a LinkedIn forum just to, you know, round it out a little.
I don't even have a LinkedIn for my guy. It still works. I think people in journalism understand that not everybody wants to be public about it. Again, at the end of the day, their job is to publish an article on a specific topic. If you answer that topic in with the right answer, even if it's a fake profile, they got their job done. Okay, as long as your website is an authority site where that brand won't be. Like that journalist won't be punished for linking to it because it's a very nicely branded site. It doesn't matter who's giving the answer at the end of the day.
Yeah, fair call.
Unfortunately, that's the world we live in, and you know, it might not be right, but it is what it is.
And it opens your eyes once you get into it, you realize that maybe half the content on the internet isn't actually that true.
Yeah, let's be honest to what it is, right? I mean, it's better than what it was 10 years ago, but it's still not there.
Well, I think I've covered all the questions that have popped up in my head, Mishfiq, but maybe for the listeners, if they're not following you already, where can they follow you?
Yeah, so the best is the websiteflip.com, but also Twitter, which is at the websiteflip. So easy to find me. I'm on Facebook, but you know, I have a group and all that, but I'm not like, it's not like Twitter where you can just follow me, right? So I think the best way to follow me is on Twitter.
Perfect. And you can keep up to date with the stuff that he's shared now. He's shared most of that on his Twitter anyway. So you get kind of like the play-by-play as he goes through.
Sure.
Perfect. Yeah. So thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.